I thought the Lord wanted me to speak on. It was Isaiah 53. It's good to see you. In fact, I told a few people, I said, study Isaiah 53. We're going to have a good time Sunday. It's only about 12 verses. And the Lord started dealing with me earlier in the week about changing it, and I argued with him. That don't work. And then he'd confirm it, and I still argued with him because I was kind of, yep, still didn't work. So then he confirmed it some more, and so finally it was late Friday night when I finally decided it's time to go work on another message. And this isn't really something that I really wanted to talk about, because sometimes, you know, you turn the TV on and you hear preachers preaching on this, and it's kind of a turnoff to me many times, so I sure didn't want to talk about the word tithing. That's a good place to say amen. Who said that? What'd you just say? Let's go there. Anybody know where that's at? It's in Malachi. Let me go there. Malachi. That's right before Matthew. Malachi. Let's start on, we'll do that in a little bit. No, we'll do that late. Say what? Malachi. Okay. Well, let's go to Malachi 3:6. Let's start on 6 because I like that verse. I, the Lord, do not change. That means I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from me and from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, well, how do we return? He says, I'm glad you ask. Verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you, Lord? In your tithes and, so everyone say and your offerings. You are under a curse. Your whole nation is under that curse because you're robbing me. Bring the whole, say whole. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That doesn't mean bring it to his place. It says into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Oh, that's my favorite part. Test me in this. Everyone say that. Test me in this. That's the only time in the Bible God says, test me or try me. That's the only place. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now, I had a brother about 2 weeks ago. We were in a conversation about giving, and someone said, you know, I can't afford to tithe. And this brother said, well, I can't afford not to. And he said, because the Lord will get it. And at the time when he said this, I wasn't sure if this was really real or not. He said, the Lord's going to get it. He said, it's going to be your vet bill, or it's going to be your doctor bill, or it's going to be your mechanic and your car bill, or it's going to be, he's going to get it. And I was thinking, well, then I read this. Verse 11, God's saying this, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is right, says the Lord. I mean, he is saying, I will keep your car running. I will keep you from being sick. Marion got sick last week. It doesn't mean if you're a Christian, you're not going to get sick, okay? She got sick last week. She had strep throat. And we had never done this, but I heard that we had something with a pharmacy that you could use this. And I called my boss, and he was at work, and talked me through it. And she went online, didn't have to get up and get ready and go to a doctor's office and sit for 2 hours with a bunch of sick people. She went online and got the prescription she needed, got a Z-Pack, and it cost her $10. That's a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Better than a $40 copay at the doctor's office. But that saved us $30. That's what I'm saying here. I'm going to prevent the pests from devouring your crops. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you financially. Let me tell you a story. Last week, Marion's got strep, and she's not here. Well, guess who carries the checkbook? Pumpkin. So I didn't pay my tithe Sunday. Monday, dog ends up having surgery, and it's $200. I immediately called Denise. Denise, I didn't pay my tithes yesterday. Don't make the deposit. I got to bring a check to you. I'm like, oh, because I remember what that brother had said about it. He'll get it in vet bills, or he'll get it in your mechanic. I'm like, before my car tears up, I got to pay my tithes. Did I? I brought her a check over. And long story short, you know, Dee and Carlton are coming and speaking next Sunday. And we have a hole downstairs now with no one there since the kids and grandkids are out. Thank you, Lord. That was another blessing. But we don't have a bed down there. No, we have a nice mattress and box springs that Mom gave us, but they're sitting on the floor. And you know, Pumpkin, we're having company, so it, you know, it's like the she wants it to look nice. So she says, can we buy, it has to be perfect, can we buy some queen-size rails and a headboard? And I'd already looked at L&B a couple weeks ago, and they had this beautiful oak headboard for $200. And the rails were, you know, there too. Well, I took the day off Wednesday to go look at some prospective church buildings, possibly. And I realized I had not put the Christmas decorations up in the attic in my building since Christmas. They were in the garage in boxes. So I went and got the boxes and took them and put them up in the rafters. And as I'm up there, I look over and there's a box. I start cleaning out some junk. You know, how many has some junk in the rafters? I look over and I see this box, and it's like 10 feet long. And I'm thinking, what's in that? And it's been up there for like 8 years. And I pull this box down. And that thing's heavy. And I'm talking to Tony while I'm doing it. And the box fell and crashed on my cell phone, didn't it, Tony? And I opened the box up, and it's queen-size set of rails. It's been up there for like 8 years, still in the plastic. Forgot about them. They've never even been used. I think we'd bought them for your mom, and she ended up having a double bed instead of a queen. And I'm like, man, what a blessing. Well, that's $50. $59 plus tax. I'm like, wow, that was a blessing. So I thought, okay, good, Lord. I'm going to go to L&B and see if I can get that bed. I'll give it to her for Valentine's Day, not a two-for-one deal, you know. And that's how that works. So I go to L&B, and that bed's gone. Bed was sold. He said it'd take me 3 weeks to order another one. So I looked around, and I saw another one. I wasn't nuts about it, but it was solid oak, and it, you know, it would do. It was nice. I said, how much for that, Butch? He said, $219. I said, man, I'll give you $200 right now, $200. He said, no. He just paid $38,000 for that sign out front. That's what he told me. And he won't knock $19 off. Now, I found out it wasn't his fault. It's the Lord. Okay, we'll get there. But he wouldn't do it. Man, I was mad at the Lord. I was mad. I'm like, doggone the Lord. I paid my tithes. No. Long story short, I thought, well, I'll go by Lockridge. What's Wednesday? Half of Marion closes. They were closed. So went up to Austin Furniture. They were closed. Now, I'm just talking to the Lord out loud. I'm telling you, I'm just not happy. As I drive around from Austin, I look over there, and there's a sign that says, Second Chances. That'll preach right there, Second Chances. And the Lord just told me, well, you know, you can't find parking on Main Street anymore. They've put 400 trees up there. So I had to drive round and round and round and round to try to find a parking place, because I thought, well, they're, you know, so I go in the store. There ain't nobody in there. I'm like, hello? Nobody. So I just started looking around. I found a cedar bed. Guess how much it was? $200. I'm like, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Well, there's nothing else in there. There's no oak bed like I'm looking for. I'm getting ready to walk out. And here comes the lady. She's got two stores, and she was in the other side. And she walks around, and I recognize her. She came to our yard sale 2 years ago and bought, you know, when Stephanie moved in, we had so much stuff. She bought Stephanie's dining room table and your mom's corner cabinet and our computer desk and computer chairs and a partridge in a pear tree. She got anything we had that she could resell, she was buying it up. And we got to talking, and I told her, see, his place wasn't even here. We hadn't even started our Bible study yet. That was before then. I was preaching at the prison. And somehow I asked her about her family, and she said her daughter was on drugs and to pray for her daughter. So I prayed for her daughter, and she said her name was Mallory. Well, when I saw her, I said, do you remember me? You came to my yard sale and bought me out a couple years ago in Deepwood. She said, you're the preacher. You're the preacher. I said, yeah. She said, you was preaching at the prison. I said, yeah, well, now we have our own church. And so I gave her my card, and I said, well, how's your daughter Mallory? And she about cried. She said, she's doing better. She's went through treatment. She said, I just appreciate you asking about her and appreciate you praying for her. And I said, well, give her this card, give her my number, and if she ever needs anything, you know, have her call us. And I said, I was really interested in an oak bed, but I see you don't have one. You've only got a cedar one. And she said, you know what? I do have an oak bed. She said, everything in the store is used except this one piece. I have one piece, and it's a solid oak basset oak headboard. Let me show you. She takes me over into the other building, and there it is. It's pretty, ain't it? A lot prettier than the $200 one I was begging the Lord for. But this one said $380 on it. And it still had the tag on it. It says Bassett. It's really nice. And she said, I just appreciate you praying for my daughter. She said, I know your wife gave me some books when we were there at the yard sale. She said, you know what? I just want to give you this headboard. I said, you say what? She said, I just want to give it to you. I just want to bless you, and you just keep it. You know, and I was thinking, how many times do we walk around, you know, with our lip hung out, wanting something, and God's like, listen, I got something better for you. If you'll just slow down, if you just hold on, I got something better for you around the street, and you're getting all bent out of shape and all, you know. The best is yet to come, and you get all angry and worried and frustrated and, you know, about this thing. I got something. Just chill out. Take a chill pill. That's what he said. I don't know how I got off on that, but that was a blessing. That was a blessing to us this week. And, man, Marion fixed that room up. Y'all going to have to come spend the night with us in that room. Or a couple hundred. Yeah, D and Carlton's going to stay there. But that was, that was just a real blessing. And that's what he's saying in this verse. He's going to keep your pests from devouring your crops. He's going to keep the fruit on your trees a little longer. He's going to have divine appointments for you and free headboards. And yeah, it is. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours is a delightful land, says the Lord God Almighty. Now listen, tithing's not to a church. Tithing's not to a budget. Tithing is not to a man or to a ministry. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. I'm not saying you need to put more in the pot at his place. Marion and I, we tithe on Women's Aglow when they bless us. We tithe on that too, Women's Aglow. For 15 years, we tithe. Part of our tithe went to CBU. That was the storehouse of where we were fed to Howard Morgan. But when you give, remember, it's gone from your hands. When somebody told me one time, they said, we got ripped off by giving money to Jim Baker. I said, you don't give money to Jim Baker. You give money to God, and it's not ripped off. You give money to God, it's his. You don't have a say in it. It's their responsibility how they handle it. It's our responsibility to be good stewards with what God has placed in the offering here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is Paul writing, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to go verse 5 to 15, Tony. 2 Corinthians 9. Say amen when you find it. Amen. Say, oh me, if you hadn't. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But say I this, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. That's not a Christian principle. That's a biblical principle. I remember Ted Turner, who was not born again, gave $100 million to the United Nations, like a food fund, and he said in 9 months he had made it all back. He said it was the most incredible period of time that he had ever made money, the 9 months after he gave that $100 million away. So it's a biblical principle. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. God loves a cheerful, everyone say cheerful, cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed that you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything, say everything, for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's go back to cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I remember Uncle Fred. Remember how much he would give? I'll never forget Dad used to say when Fred was back in the CC camps, he'd make 50 cents a week, and he'd send 45 cents up to his mama. He always took care of his mom, always loved his mom. And Dad used to say he had such a heart to, you know, a kid was sick, and he wouldn't let the left hand know what his right hand was doing. He'd let his pilot fly the kid for free to a hospital in Florida or something. And he wasn't born again then. Exactly right. Not till the last year when he died, I believe, but he really rededicated his life. But he was a cheerful giver. He had a big heart. And God blessed him financially, didn't he? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Just start at the first verse. Matthew 6. Given to the needy. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 1 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. That doesn't mean sometimes you won't be seen giving, but just don't practice it. Don't make it a practice that every time you give, you're going to make whistles and put whistles and bells on it. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, you don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let the left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you openly. The act of tithing reveals to God the intentions of a man's heart. Man, I opened right to it. Can you believe that? I just opened that. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart that refuses to tithe is a heart of a man, denying God's blessings by trying to bless itself. I'll try to do it myself. I'm going to try to make ends meet myself. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do it my own way. And the Lord says, okay, it's yours. But you're not going to be blessed because the verses we read about the blessings. That's why I said faith is spelled R-I-S-K, because sometimes it's a risk. I can't tell you the times. I cannot tell you how many times we've opened envelopes from people we didn't even know with hundreds and hundreds of dollars in them. Remember Minnie Lynch? Was that her name? Lady, we didn't even know. We met her at CBU one time, and three or four times she'd send us a letter with $100 in it. Some lady from Tennessee, yeah, just when we needed it most, some lady from Tennessee would send us some checks. And just, we'd bless somebody and say, Marion would say, well, don't worry, the Lord's going to give it back to us. And I'm trying to do two and two's four. And she's like, the Lord will bless us, the Lord will bless us. And then Grandma would give me three birthday presents, you know, three different $100 checks on my birthday or something. Whatever it was, you know, the Lord would, you can't outgive him. He'd always give it back. Sometimes it's been amazing things, just like the free headboard. I don't think I've ever been in that store. I don't remember ever. I've never went in there to bought anything. I've never went looking for shopping. Hadn't seen that lady in 2 years since our yard sale. You don't have to go there. But I'm going to read a few verses out of Jesus' favorite book. Did you know Jesus had a favorite book? Vaughn's looking at me kind of weird. Jesus said he had a favorite book, I believe. You know, when Deuteronomy, that's good. You know, he's out there in the wilderness and the devil comes to him and starts messing with him. And what does he quote? As it is written, he quotes Deuteronomy. And then the second time the devil comes to him, and he says, as it is written, and he quotes Deuteronomy. And then the third time, and he quotes Deuteronomy. I'm like, hey, there's some good stuff in that book. Deuteronomy, 15, how did I say that? Deuteronomy 15:10 says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. That's that cheerful giver. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand to. So he's saying, if you give, the Lord's going to bless all. Deuteronomy 12:7. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything that you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Now, a lot of the verses I was reading about giving was in the Old Testament. And you can say, well, the Old Testament's not for today. Well, look at Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word I read earlier said, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Luke, I'm just going to give you some verses quick. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. Is that headboard poured into our lap this week or what? Give and it will be given to you. For the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, good measure, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's a good verse. Acts, also in the New Testament. Acts 4. Verses 32 through 35. All of the believers were in one heart and in one mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. This is the New Testament church. They didn't believe anything they had was theirs, that everything belonged to everyone. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. So from time to time, those that owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Is that awesome or what? You know, according to that, I can go over to Russ's house and get his 583-inch screen TV and take it to the house if I can get it in the door. Somebody say amen there, honey. Yeah, well, that's because we got them old ones, them old, big old ones. I'm feeling a 65-inch flat screen in front of that headboard, laying on the headboard watching that big screen. Mimi would say, "Watch it, brother." That's what she. We got to have some. I'm going to go to. I'll give you a verse here. You can go to 2 Samuel 24, verses 20 through 25, and I'll be wrapping it up. If y'all noticed, two Sundays ago, when it was nice and sunny outside, we had 55 people in here, including 16 children. The following Sunday, which was last week, we had 53, including 15 kids. But the surprising thing was, of the 53 here last week, there were 23 that were here the week before that missed last week. I'm pretty good at math. So I did, hey, if those people that were here last week would have been here this week, we'd have had 76 people. Well, guess what? We have 56 chairs. That's a clue that people are coming in and staying, and that's a good thing. Because we're not going out. We haven't advertised. We haven't put a single thing in the paper yet, although we may this week for D. Baxter. We haven't advertised at all. But we've prayed and asked the Lord to send us laborers and send us souls and send us prayer warriors, send us who He wants to be here. I don't call and beg people to come. I said if the Lord wants you here, this is where we want you. It's where you need to be. But it costs to rent a building. It costs. When there are people that need help, you know, we talk about the New Testament church here, how there were people that had needs. There are people in the church that have needs, and I believe it's our responsibility to help meet those needs. There are absolute hundreds of souls being saved right now in a country called Kenya because we put some seed in the ground and sent a willing young vessel to go and spread His word. But that costs money. And I'll just tell you, God don't need our money. He does not need our money. He'll do it one way or the other. He's like, I can do this with you or I can do this without you. We can do it the easy way or the hard way, but we're going to do it. but I want his blessings and not the curse. 2 Samuel, I'm going to read a story. When Araunah looked and saw the king and his officials coming toward him, 2 Samuel 24, verse 20, he went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, "Why has my lord King David come to his servant?" And David answered, "To buy the threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on my people may be stopped." And Araunah says to David, "Let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up." He says, "Here's my oxen for the burnt offering. Here's my threshing floor. Here's my threshing sledges. Here's the yoke, the ox yokes for the wood." He said, "I tell you what, I've invented a flamer, and I'm even going to give you free fire." I don't think it said that, but I just happened to have that there when I saw it because I lit the candles. I mean, he's given David he's given it all. Here it is. It's yours. "Let my lord take whatever he wishes. Your majesty," Araunah gives all to the king. And he also said, "May the Lord your God accept you." Ah, but what does David reply? King David says, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." He's wanting to put some investment here. He's wanting to put some commitment. He's not going to take his thing for free. "Yeah, I insist on paying you. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So it says, so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen, and he paid 600 shekels for the gold. He gave him 600 shekels of gold for them. So David builds an altar to the Lord there, sacrifices the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. Now, I did a little bit of research and found out a shekel is 0.58 troy ounces of gold. Now, 4 years ago, gold was $7.90 an ounce. But Friday, it closed at $1,856.43. We should have bought some gold, Mom. $1,856.44. So a shekel is over $1,100. He gave him 600 shekels. I told you I was good in math. That's $655,888.42. You know, I read it twice, and I saw 150, and let me read it. What verse? 2 Samuel 24. I looked this up a couple places because I saw it different.
The Hebrew Bible says 1 1/4 pounds.
Gold or silver?
Silver. That's it. Yeah, who said that? Yeah, that's where I read it at, in First Chronicles. Wonder how much he gave for this thing. He gave a lot of money. I want to have to talk to the Lord about that because I read it in two places and I saw where it said the silver and where it said the gold. That's a lot of gold. I can do the math on that too, and that pound and a half of gold is a lot of gold. Anyway, let's just say he paid a lot of money back in them days for this threshing floor. He had some commitment and some investment in it. He wasn't going to do it for free. We used to sing a song about that. "I will not give that which costs me nothing."
And
that's right. Let's go one more place and then we'll close. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. Let's start with verse 41. Mark 12. Yeah, Mark 12, 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury. And he saw how the people put money into the treasury. He saw how they did it. Remember that. And many who were rich put in much. But then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a farthing. So he called his disciples to him, and he teaches them and says, assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her entire livelihood. She put it all in. I just sit and typed up in a little story I want to share with you. It's been a long day of teaching and performing miracles, answering questions of the Jewish leaders. Probably offended some of them, you know. It's late, and for that reason, perhaps, Jesus sits down, as it says, by the treasury to receive the offerings of those that pass by. Now, according to this, the apostles are present because he teaches them right there. So they're there. And they and Jesus watch as those wishing to contribute walk by. Now, it says right here, there are some rich men who cast in large sums. Perhaps some of them, the ones that he just rebuked, if you remember just that story where he, if you get into the whole story, I mean, he's rebuking them just a few verses back. And by, here comes a little widow lady, somebody maybe like Bertha, or like your mama, or my mama, little widow lady. And she's just got two little small coins, two little mites that are really half a cent. The total of them are half a cent. Now, I can just imagine Jesus is standing here. He's here by the treasury. They look in the bulletin, and it's time to take the offering. And Jesus is there, and it says he's watching how they put the coins in. And I was just sitting and imagining. I'm thinking, remember that church that we were in, and they had the big metal things where you put the coins in, and the church was all rock, and you sang the Lord's Prayer, and you could hear it forever. It was just reverberating in that church. The acoustics in there was no carpet, rock walls, rock floor, rock ceiling, and I imagine them rich men walking in with a lot of gold pieces and banging and them clanging, and how much noise that made. And I'm thinking, you know, if I got a lot of money and I want people to know I'm putting a lot in there, I kind of ricochet it around in there a little bit, you know, wham, bam, you know, make a lot of racket, you know. But this lady comes in, I believe there's quite a difference audibly in the sound of those little bitty mites hitting in there than all them big gold pieces clanging around. Jesus, it says here, he observed everything and nothing went unnoticed. He noticed how this widow woman, which was one of the poorest of classifications in that society, Jesus knew this was all she had. He said she gave all. You notice that? All. And you know, I liked it where it said Jesus watched. He's watching what they're putting in. And I thought, he still is today. I don't count the offering. We have two other people that will count it. Denise puts it in the deposit. She sees it. I don't want to know what people give. May have. That's all she have. That's a good point. She's happy to give it. Yep. You know, there's a lot of other places she could use that money, I'm sure. It may not have bought a pomegranate in those days, but I'm sure if that's all she had. He knows the hearts. He knows all. He knows our hearts. But he, you know, it doesn't say, but I know my Lord. I like to think, man, he just blessed her with a new car or something that day, you know. He just gave her something big, you know. Doesn't say, but, you know, and it may be, you know, where you're putting treasures up on the other side. She may have the biggest mansion up there of anybody, you know. But I was thinking about that when I was studying, and I thought, yeah, in John it says, he says, we can't write all the stories of the things he did. There's not enough paper and not enough books in the world that we could write everything he did. We just wrote a portion. So I like to think that there's more to this story. And maybe someday we'll hear the rest of the story. But I want to end with, if you don't hear anything I say, listen to this. I want to end with something. Man, it just, when I read this, it just, I had not seen it till I was reading this story and where we're at in Mark 12. And then he's talking to the disciples, and then he goes out and he predicts the destruction of the temple. And then it's 2 days later. It's 2 days later is when Passover is. So it's like on a Tuesday he's in the temple and all these people throwing all this money in the treasury while he's standing there watching it. And then this widow lady puts her two mites in. And I'm thinking, 3 days from now, he's dead. And he knows it. I'm going to tell that lady, hey, save your money. Save your money. Because this money right here, they're going to the ATM in 2 days and taking this money out and giving it to Judas. In 2 days, save your money. That's what I'd be telling her, you know. He knew. He's sitting there. Read the story. In Mark 12, this is his last teaching, y'all. This is his last teaching, is it not? He's dead in 3 days. Let's go there and look. I'll show you in case you're thinking, what's he talking about? Chapter 14, the first verse. After 2 days, it was Passover, feast of unleavened bread. The chiefs and the scribes sought how they could take him, you know, by trickery and put him to death. So this is 2 days after they're going and putting all this money in the treasury. And where did they take that money out of to give to Judas? They took it out of the treasury. So that money that they're putting in right there in front of him is the money that's betraying him, a portion of it, just a couple days later. Wonder how Jesus could praise this woman for her contribution, knowing that such a terrible crime is getting ready to happen, and how this money is being used in a horrible way. But you know, we do it today. How many times have we heard of ministries using money to cover up whatever? But when we give, we're given to God. We're not given to a ministry. We're not given to a church. We're not given to a budget. We're given it to God. And we have to remember that. But remember, if you take anything away from this lesson today, just remember the blessings that he said, test me and try me. Test me and try me and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain on you. You know, we sing, let the river flow, let the river flow, God, let your river flow in my life and release your blessings and pour out more, Lord, and this and that. But I don't have anything to give you back. You can parallel that with your own children. If my son's coming to the house and we were talking about that boy that came to our house, remember? We took him in. We was talking about that this morning. We took him in for about 90 days, and he lived at our house. But when he first came, the first few weeks, he kind of helped out and do this and that. But he's just lazy. He just lay around, wouldn't work, wouldn't do anything, just watch TV and live off us. And guess what? We said, see ya. And the guy's like 16 years old. But, you know, man, we want to bless our kids, don't we? Don't we, Tony? We want to be able to buy them a brand spoken new Corvette or something, Ethan, when you turn 17, or a big bad Ford truck or something. I mean, you want to bless your kids, don't you? You want to bless Allison and Jason, Nick. But we want to bless our kids, but if it's all a one-sided relationship, if Allison never had a relationship with you, if she never wanted to talk with you, she might call you up like once every couple weeks, you know, say hello, but if there's no relationship there, would you want to do as much? Do you want to bless them as much? I mean, they're still your kids. You still love them. I'm talking about, man, I tell you what, when them grandkids come up popping Russ's lap and look and say, I love you, Papa Russ, and he'd give them anything. You would. That's how our Father is. And we just want to pop up in his lap and, you know, and love on him. And, you know, how many times have the kids painted you with crayons, painted you a little picture and brought it to you? Man, is that, I got a bunch of them over there on the bulletin board that kids have brought up to me in children's church and painted. I think one of your girls painted one the other day and gave it to me. That just blesses me. And that blesses our Father when it's not just in giving of your tithes, but it's also of your offerings. There are many people here that labor and labor every week and help. And I'm not even going to name names because there's so many that do so much for the Lord, and it's an offering back to Him. So we're going to receive our tithes and our offerings, and He really has. And this is this being recorded, Tony, for the first time? It's going to go out all over the world. Yeah, Tony and Marie both came here and worked last week, and we just started recording the messages now. Been working on that. That's been an ongoing thing for probably a year, different things we've tried, so that's a real blessing. But so many do so much. Denise has worked so hard on as the treasurer, and especially at tax time here. So many have done so much. You know, Mark and Tiff, you know, you're putting out the signs every week, and just different people. But you know, just being here, just your presence means so much. And, you know, there's even been people come up and say, you know, is there anything I can do? Give me a minute, I'll think of something. you know, but we just appreciate you so much, given to the Lord, given of your time, of your talents and your giftings, as well as your finances. So, be praying about a building. You know, if we keep growing at the present rate, I know it was a small group this morning, but keep it in prayer. We don't want to get ahead of God. But one place I looked at, and it's just the first place that I saw, is just a couple miles up the road here in PG. You go past Lowe's, go past the high school entrance. There's some metal buildings as you go up. They're on your left. There's a Mike's Sporting Goods. There's a Bond Servants Church. And there's another nice building with tons of parking. Very nice building. It's 3,200 square feet. This one's only 1,300 square feet, so it's more than double the size. Has two restrooms instead of one, two heat pumps instead of one. And when he found out it was a church, he said he would take only $1,000 a month, which we pay $700 here. So that, you know, that just kind of gives you an idea. It'd be another $300 a month, but we'd have more than double the space and triple the parking. But it's got to be God's call. It's not got to be our call. You know, he's open. There's some other things I've looked at this week. But just pray, okay? And we'll talk about it more when it gets closer. But Father, we thank you for all your many blessings. You're so good to us. Thank you for this group of believers, Father, that you've assembled together in your place for such a time as this. We bless each one and bless their families. Pray you grant them the desires of their hearts, Father God. We pray that everything they touch will prosper according to the word that we read this morning. It says you will prosper the works of our hands. We pray for the blessings and not the curse, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll tell you what, if the praise team will come up, we'll sing a song as we receive the offering.